broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The pictures are eventually going to get out. And then you just relive the intensity.
The fact of the matter is, as the president described, these are graphic photographs of someone who was shot.
There's some speculation, but I think only on top of that has been we've seen dramatic economic growth.
The teacher told the student that, "I bet you're grieving," and she basically looked at him and was like, "What are you talking about?
An ice cream vendor.
You're grieving. I know I'm grieving. I'm grieving because it's only a three-hour show, man. I wish we had more time. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they won't, and they shan't, and they wan't. And anyway, welcome to our program. We're in live high-definition video on our website, philhendryshow.com, and we are, you know, like a multimedia thing. And if you have a backstage pass, you can watch us. You can listen to our archives. You can go into our news feed and comment. You can listen to our podcast, daily podcasts of the show. You can interact with us via email. You can do a lot of things. You become extraordinary. You become almost superhuman with a backstage pass to philhendryshow.com, and that's where we are right now. We also want to tell you that this evening we're going to be talking with Dean Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler with the Northern California Holistic Center will be discussing the controversy surrounding the naming of bin Laden, one of the targets in the SEAL mission in Pakistan. He was codenamed Geronimo. And there are those, some Native Americans, who are taking exception to that. We're going to be talking tonight to Mr. Wheeler about that, and to find out exactly what can be done, if anything is necessary. We'll be starting off with Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Very interesting article on Americans. We want to talk to the SEALs. We want to meet them. We want to be around them. I believe it's the Captain Sullenberger. I think it's very uniquely American. We are enamored of our heroes, going back to the very beginning of this country. Going back to the days of George Washington, you know, and the way this country grieved when he passed on, we love our heroes. We want to be close to them. We want to know them. We want to hear their stories. We want to know how they did what they did and why they did what they did. And it's uniquely American. Another thing that's very uniquely American is, unfortunately, we like to tear our heroes down. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. President Obama says he is not going to release the images of a dead Osama bin Laden while the country wants to know who were those SEALs. We'll talk with Bobby Dooley in a moment. A high school cheerleader gets kicked off her squad after refusing to cheer for an athlete that she says raped her. Plus, a woman in Dubai is suing her husband for not having sex with her. We'll take a good long look at her. And no, what we're going to do is talk about this. And then Bobby and Dean Wheeler with us tonight, our affiliate spotlight, on WDTW 1310 AM in Detroit, and on KPSI 920 AM in Palm Springs. Two great affiliates on our Phil Hendry Radio Network. 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, every Saturday night, we're live on KFI here in Los Angeles, as well as KTLK AM 1150. I don't know what you guys were talking about on Twitter today. Hey, Phil, are you on KTLK? I can't even hear. We're still, I don't know what you're talking about. We're on the air on KTLK. We're on the air on Saturday night. We're on in New York. We're on in Miami. We're on in places that we're not even on in yet. It's kind of a time warp thing. All right, Bobby Dooley joining us. Ms. Dooley, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. Very good, thank you.
And we're talking here this evening about the American need to that seems to be expressing itself in corners across this country. Patrons in bars across the country are raising toasts, hoping that the gesture of gratitude would somehow reach the clandestine Navy SEAL team. Many of them feel frustrated, incomplete. Scores of people responding to the question posed by the Associated Press, what would you tell the Navy SEAL team that killed Osama bin Laden if you could convey a message? There are all kinds of questions being asked, and one of them was more a statement that you made today to a couple of members of the media, and you also put into a Homeowners Association newsletter. And that had more to do with an intimate aspect of the Navy SEALs, didn't it?
Well, Phil, before we talk about that, I want to give it some context. We're very, very proud of the United States Navy SEALs that conducted this mission. We're very, very proud of all of our fighting men and women and the dangers that they faced in going into this country, Pakistan, and going into this compound and killing this man who is well known to be very dangerous and killed so many innocent people. It takes great bravery. This is a very unusual story, because we don't see a story like this that often. As you mentioned, we had Captain Sullenberger, and every now and again we have people that we really admire and have done such great things. We're so used to the bad news, you know.
Boy, that's the truth.
And so when we get good news, we want to express it somehow. And the newsletter, I think, was done tastefully, and I think it was true. In that,
what exactly did you say? And then we can put the question to the audience, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, what we said was, Steve, my husband Steve is here. You
a man give up his wife.
Yes, we were at the homeowners association meeting, and we were talking about getting some sprinklers finally put in up near our security gate, and I stood up and I said, you know what? Let's quit pretending that we want to do business. Let's stop making fools of ourselves, and let's get it said. I said it. I said, there are women here, and there are men here. And many of the women are married, and so are the men. But you know, and I know, that the men in this country would most likely allow their wives or their girlfriends to become deeply intimate with one of these seals. And I said to the Homeowners Association, it was our steering committee, I said, let's quit fooling around. We were talking about sprinklers, and we were talking about some of the aspects of our summer jacket. I said, let's just stop and say what's on our minds. You know as well as I do that you men would allow your wives or your girlfriends to be deeply, deeply intimate. And everyone stopped and stared at me, and I waited for what I knew was going to happen. And believe it or not, applause broke out.
Applause?
Well, I think it's because I was saying something that everyone needed to say. We've been dancing around this, Phil, all week, you know, ever since the news broke. We want to meet the SEALs. We want to, you know their story. There's so much about these men that would be exciting to know. But as a woman, and I think as men, we have to admit that on some level there is a wanting to give up to these men something that belongs to us. In the case of men, I dare say that men would not have any problem with their women desiring these men in an intimate way. And in some ways, it's almost tribal. So I said, what we need to do is write a letter and tell them we're not offering anybody, but we will say we offer the intimacy of our women.
Let me slow you up here, because this is wild what you're saying. I mean, you were talking about having a discussion, and I can understand perhaps a discussion like this coming up in the middle of a homeowners association meeting, which was a little strange, because you said you were talking about sprinklers.
Well, see, that was the thing that surprised me, too. We were talking about sprinklers, and we were talking about drainage for an area that's been flooding at the very back southeastern corner of the property. But I could see people were pushing pencils around, and their mind was not on what we were talking about. So I stood up and I said, all right, let's get it said. You men and you women, you know that you men would almost want to offer your wives or your girlfriends...
Well, that's the part, if you don't mind me interrupting you, that's the part that I find bizarre. I don't know what to say. That you sent a letter to the SEALs, or...
No, what we did, Phil, is we drafted, and I'd appreciate it very much if you would stay with me on this, because I know that your temptation is to sort of make fun of things.
We drafted a letter, Mr. Henry.
I'll do it, Steve. We drafted a letter, and in it, and we did address it to the Pentagon, in it we said, you know, I am speaking for millions of American women. Millions of American women want some level of intimacy with these SEALs. And I am simply saying to you, as a tribal right, if you will, and the tribe being the tribe of Americans, all of us together, there would be nothing wrong with that.
there would be nothing wrong with the women of America offering themselves sexually to these SEALs.
No, I didn't use the word sexually because it's not a sufficient word. I used the word intimately because that bespeaks not only sex, it bespeaks love. And that is really what we're talking about. The American female and the American male, in a tribal rite that is thousands of years old, offering the female sexually, but intimately. And that is what makes it, I think, pure, clean. It freshens it.
All right, let me give my number here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Bobby Dooley, and the desire of the American people to meet and talk to these Navy SEALs expressed by Ms. Dooley and her homeowners association in a letter drafted to the SEALs that American women would like to have, basically, forgive me for putting it this way, sex with these SEALs.
No, I did not put it that way, Phil. I said intimacy.
All right, but what you're saying is basically this. The SEALs are so important that their brief immorality and infidelity would be tolerated by American men and women. The women would have sex with the SEALs, and the men would be okay with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying, and I checked it out with Steve, my husband.
And your husband would be fine with you having sex with one of these SEALs?
You know, the accusatory way that you put that is very interesting because...
I'm sorry, but I find it to be immoral. I find it to be something that you are expecting the SEALs to engage in. So you would expect these men, these brave men and highly skilled men, to have sex outside of the confines of their marriage.
You don't understand. Now, men like that cannot necessarily be held by a single woman. Now, I know you've heard that before in a lot of different ways, but it is true that a man like that, the woman in his life knows already that women are going to want him. What I am trying to say is that American men need to understand now that their women...
That their women want to have sex with these Navy SEALs.
That their women, yes, but that desire is there.
And that we should give in to that, and why should we give in to that?
And that we should give into it, and you know, Phil, you're interrupting me. But you're interrupting me, Phil.
Well, I got to get on with this. You want the American women will have sex with these SEALs because why?
Because that is their natural instinct, and because in this particular instance, it is, in my opinion, not immoral.
Well, I beg to differ.
Would you deny your woman? Would you deny her that?
It's not up to me to deny or to allow my woman to do anything.
Well, I think that's very cozy, Phil, and I think...
It's not meant to be cozy. I can't deny my woman anything, I can't grant her anything, but I would expect her fidelity. Even if one of the Navy SEALs that killed Bin Laden came to my house, sat down, had drinks with me and my family, had dinner with my family, sat there through the evening in my living room and told his stories in an increasingly exciting and fantastic way and had everybody spellbound, I would still expect my wife not to sleep with him. Now, I can't necessarily say she wouldn't be aroused by him. She might even be attracted to him. I can understand that. It happens. You know the old saying about where you get hungry as long as you eat at home, you know?
Well, that's ridiculous. I've heard that, and I don't understand that one at all.
It doesn't matter where you get hungry as long as you eat at home. You've never heard of that?
No, I've heard it. It's asinine.
Get hungry, you're going to go to a restaurant.
I know you're going to go to a restaurant, but we're talking about something completely different here. We're talking about sex. And what you're saying, Ms. Dooley, is that it would be completely acceptable and moral for any woman in America to have sex with one of the Navy SEALs that killed Bin Laden because their husbands would consider it an honor, and it's tribal, and suddenly all bonds of marriage fall away. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I am saying to a degree. I am saying it would be intimacy, and I am saying something that I don't think you understand. Most men would grant it. It would be a grant, a quid pro quo. There's a legal doctrine, and it's called in grantum or to grant.
To grant what?
To allow your wife to grant sex unto another man. And in the case of these Navy SEALs, it would be it would not be infidelity.
Well, I don't understand what law you're quoting there. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley, who says any man would be happy and willing to let their wife or girlfriend sleep with any of the Navy SEALs involved in the Bin Laden mission. What's your take on this? Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll take your calls when we come back at 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We're with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley here as we talk about Americans yearning to talk to the SEALs in the Bin Laden raid, yearning to speak to them and to meet them. It's a very American thing to want to just kind of reach out and touch our heroes. And these Navy SEALs, we probably never will because they are obviously a covert unit to the extent that, they hide their identities. Bobby, a question for you before we get to the phone calls here. You're talking about it would be a moral thing, I think you said, if women had sex, but you say intimacy.
Yes, I said intimacy still, and I'd really appreciate it if you kept your mind on that word, because to say sex is to... it really narrows it and cheapens it.
All right, but I want to ask you a question. What if one of these SEALs is gay?
Then I think it doesn't change anything. If he is gay, then I think there are a great many young gay men who are in marriages, gay marriages, whose partners would allow it.
Oh, really? Well, let me ask you this. There's don't ask, don't tell right now, so how would we ever know that he's gay?
You know, I think that's a very despicable question. I think in this instance, to not allow that man to express himself.
No, I would agree with you. I think the man should be allowed to express himself, but we don't have that rule just yet. I don't think. So he's the guy that doesn't get to have sex?
Mr. Henry, we're not talking about some cheap sex.
It's not a bachelor party, Mr. Henry.
No, but I know it's not a bachelor party, but you're talking about giving it up intimately to these SEALs. What if one of them was gay? You see, what I'm trying to say to you is the following thing. To offer our thanks to the SEALs by some tribal rite, as you call it, where I, as the man, offer my woman, and the woman gives herself intimately to the SEAL, is all fine and dandy, but in reality and in practice, I don't know that the whole thing works. Let's go to a phone call. Here is Celeste on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley. Go ahead, Celeste.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the whole situation about having sex with the Navy SEAL. I think having sex outside of your marriage is just barbaric to begin with. I don't understand why it should be allowed with a Navy SEAL just because he killed Bin Laden.
Because he's an extra special. This is very tribal, Celeste. In other words, in the days when man traveled as a tribe, it was religious almost to offer this to the warrior. He is our warrior. Are you telling me you would be attracted to him?
I guess we lost the call. 877-876-7445. Let's move on to... So how would you respond to that?
Well, I respond to it the same way that I've been telling you. I think it is not barbaric. It is not immoral. It is, in point of fact, something we offer up to the SEAL so that he is emboldened and strengthened and knows that we would give him anything for what he's done.
877-876-7445. Here is Christina. Go ahead, Christina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
First of all, I think it would be ridiculous. I mean, I think that, you know, everybody would be strangers to each other. And, you know, I think it would just
not
cause
really,
a big
really. It would be
horizon.
A one-time-only thing. It would be a one-time-only thing. You would be required by your husband to give of yourself. And are you saying no, you wouldn't? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if I had a husband, you know, I'm a mother.
Yes.
But if I had a husband, I don't think he would approve of it.
But let's say he said to you, and, you know, I'm just fooling around, he said, go on in there, Christine, and shake hands with it. You know, go, whatever a man says, they say a lot of stupid things. Would you not then do as your husband directed?
Well, that's not what you said.
You wouldn't go in and have sex with a Navy SEAL that just killed Bin Laden, saved your children, saved your life. You wouldn't do that. I think you would. I think you would, and I think you would. In the middle of the night, we'd hear what we thought were coyote yips. And it would very well be you.
Phil,
that's really what I'm saying. Uh-huh.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Coming up, Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. The use of the name Geronimo as the code name for the primary target, Bin Laden, has been criticized by some in Native American circles and elsewhere. We're going to discuss that with Dean Wheeler at the top of the hour. And then in our final hour of the show, of course, is our news and commentary hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up some of these neat and keen items in our merchandise store. We have the Phil Hendry T-shirt all set for you for the summer. We also have our shot glasses. Man, those Phil Hendry shot glasses are a beautiful thing. We will be having yucca parties here on Phil TV. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that, man. Don't worry about that. We're going to have some serious-ass yucca parties on Phil TV this coming summer. So if you don't have your backstage pass, you're going to miss our yucca parties. You're going to miss all kinds of stuff. 877-876-PHIL. Ms. Dooley, before we move on, you mentioned something about the stealth technology on one of the choppers being left behind?
Yes. One of the helicopters crashed, and there was a rotor blade attached to that section of the helicopter. It contained very, very important stealth technology. Obviously, one of the SEALs was responsible for demolishing that helicopter, and he was not successful in at least the extent of destroying that. So we obviously would want that individual identified. It would be very difficult, just speaking as a woman, to give myself intimately to a man who was just a little bit below.
You know, oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I don't know whether I'm outraged more about the fact that you want to have sex with these guys, and now you're telling me that, well, this guy wouldn't be deserving of the same kind of sex because he left a stealth technology behind?
That's right. Only
hold on. I can't hear your husband at all.
I'm sorry. Steve is saying it stands to reason. It only stands to reason that you're not going to offer yourself up intimately to one of the SEALs that left behind this stealth technology that the Pakistanis, or I don't know what country, that
Pakistan.
Yes, that they will use to plot more murders or whatever they do. I don't know.
Pakistan ostensibly is an ally of ours. Did they butcher this beyond recognition? Yes. Was it, as they say in the military, FUBAR? You bet. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that they are assisting Al-Qaeda in planning these missions. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Cindy. Go ahead, Cindy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
I'm offended when she says she speaks for millions of women. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a tattoo that says that you are property of
mm-hmm.
your husband?
Mm-hmm. What's that? Do I have a tattoo? No, of course I don't. This would be ritualistic.
It sounds like you are acting. I mean, you act like you are property of your husband. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
are. If you
mm-hmm.
appreciate what these SEALs
mm-hmm.
did, why not
mm-hmm.
write a heartfelt letter expressing your gratitude with your words instead of saying you have to give your body to a man that you don't know?
Well, I think
I'm offended as a woman.
But, Cindy, what's offensive to me is you know exactly what I'm talking about. I said what's offensive to me is that you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, as a woman, if you saw one of these SEALs...
Absolutely
you'd be all over him.
Because
all over him.
No.
absolutely not. Just because I appreciate something a man has done doesn't mean I want to throw myself at him. And doesn't mean I want to show my appreciation sexually. I am perfectly capable of showing my appreciation to somebody without showing it sexually.
If your husband was out of town, is what I'm saying.
What do you mean if her husband was out of town?
I don't know whether or not my husband's out of town or not. I'm saying I don't have to show my appreciation through sex.
No, you don't. But I wanted to tell you something. It isn't about you. It's about the Fields. And if that's what they want...
I understand that, but don't say that you're speaking for millions of people, please.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I think I am. I think I'm speaking for you. And I think you are saying what you're saying for public consumption.
Well, you can't even take the lady at her word.
I take her at her word, but I think there are a lot of people that she doesn't want to offend.
So, in other words, there's not a woman that could call this show and say, I don't want to have sex with the Navy SEALs that you would believe because you think she's just being coy. And
There's not a woman listening to me right now that doesn't know what I'm talking about, but if one of those SEALs came in and said, hi, I'm one of the SEALs that got Osama bin Laden, that you wouldn't be all over him like white on rice. And
I can honestly say I would not. I would have to say that I've evolved beyond that point in my life.
Well, if you're too old, I understand that, but I'm talking about younger women. And
she didn't say she was too old. Maybe
I'm
she's
not
just
too, old,
too married.
Honey. Believe me, I'm not too old.
Well, the way you said that, you went, I'm not too old. It cracked a little, the voice, is what I'm saying. So here is what...
All right, you know, Bobby, it doesn't have to be an issue of whether... Thank you very much, Cindy, for your call. An issue of whether someone's too old. Can you not accept someone at their word?
Well, a moment ago, this is what you said, Phil. You went, okay, Bobby, now do I take that to mean you have epilepsy? Do I take that to mean... You have some nascent Lou Gehrig's disease? No, I don't. So I am taking you at your word.
What has that got to do with what I'm talking about?
When the lady said she wasn't too old, this is what she said. She went, I'm not too old. Did you hear that?
No, I heard that too, Mr. Henry.
No, I heard her voice crack. I heard the lady's voice crack. It could very well have been that she was in mid-laugh or something. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here about... the Navy SEALs and a story today that was in a lot of publications and on the Internet, the Associated Press story, Americans yearn to talk to SEALs in bin Laden raid. We yearn to speak to these men. We yearn to meet our heroes. And Ms. Dooley is saying that there is a need, a yearning, something primal, something tribal in the hearts of men and women that men would give up their wives or girlfriends for intimate sex with one of the SEALs and they'd be fine with it. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be fine with it.
Again, I think it's something that you're saying now, but if the Navy SEAL walked into your home and looked you up and down and then looked at your wife, in that instant, Phil, would be the thought in your mind, you know, he's right.
What do you mean he's right? He hasn't said anything.
He doesn't need to say anything. All he has to do is come in and look at you, and he'll look you up and down, and you're thinking, you know what, it's yours. It's your world, brother. It's your world, I'm just washing the dishes.
Yeah, it's your world, I'll just run out to the CVS to get the condoms.
All right, thank you very much for that insult. You guys think it's a joke, you know?
No, I don't think it's a joke. I don't think it's a joke. I think it's definitely that. It's your world.
Yeah, it's your world. It's your world, I'll make the breakfast.
It's your world, brah.
It's your world, brah, huh? 877-876-7445. Let's go to Teresa in Alabama. Teresa, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley. Turn down or whatever. Here is, I think it's Bennett. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Bennett.
Oh, yes. Hello. I'm sorry, a little bit of static there. I think, it's kind of a little presumptuous to assume that these high-caliber individuals, these Navy SEALs would accept such an offer. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe some would, maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. We'll never know who they are in national security.
Well, that's not the point. The point is to make the offer. To make the offer. And long overdue.
That would also lead into the second part of it is that, I think it's really, really presumptuous to say that, mm-hmm. you know, and especially insulting that men should offer their wives. For one, I can't offer my wife because if she were to accept an offer, she wouldn't be my wife anymore.
Wait a minute. You understand who I'm talking about, these Navy SEALs, right?
Yeah, I understand. And I really, really appreciate what they've done, but I think it's insulting to them.
Who did? Well, you don't know that. You'd have to ask them.
Well, yeah, we would have to ask them, wouldn't they? Or wouldn't we? You know?
Well, what if you... That, we're not talking about that. You can ask them. What I'm talking about is making myself ready for the for that moment of commingling and the husband making me ready. And that would be a necessity of... There's two steps. There's the commingling and there is the advance.
Well, I don't know any of this stuff, man, whether it's tribal or whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. What this gentleman is saying here is that the woman, any woman that takes up an offer to have sex with a Navy SEAL, whether or not the guy wants to have sex with her or not, has given up her marriage bonds.
And I'm telling both of you men, no, she hasn't. It's religious.
All right. 877-876-7445. Let's move on here to... I think it's Dervin. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Well, this is the thing. I'm a 17-year veteran of the U.S. Navy. I was a mm-hmm. search and rescue diver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have worked with the SEALs before, with Rangers, the Green Berets, and a majority of them on specialized missions. These people mm-hmm. are secretive. They will never tell you who they are. You will not know who they are. Majority of these men have families. They have wives. They have kids.
You can have sex with someone and not have to know their name. You know
well,
that.
I'll tell you what. They're not going to come to you. They're not going to come to anybody. They are a very, very secretive group.
No,
they are designed that way. They're not going
to
they're not going to do it because, one, their lives depend on their secret nature. They will not reveal themselves because, let me tell you something, people have died before because of incidents
mm-hmm.
like that. Because they got their picture taken somewhere, they got something done, somebody got seen on a photograph, and if they're identified by the enemy, which is Al-Qaeda,
now, what about
and all these
body?
Other terrorist groups, they are a target. They will be killed.
I think they should have the option, at least, of knowing that we are willing to have sex with them and that the men of this country are willing to offer their wives up in this tribal right.
SEALs are not going to take it. They are not going to take it.
I don't know that you can say that.
I do know some SEALs. And let me tell you something. They will not take it.
Well,
they value their lives more than having
sex
with a strange woman.
She wouldn't be strange. She'd introduce herself. Not only that, but they're getting photographs and picking from them ahead of time. And
how's that working?
We mail photographs to them. So Dervin or Derwin, Derwick?
Yeah.
We've thought of all of this. Okay? We've thought of all
of this. Do you know that if you reveal their photographs in any form of fashion on the internet, web, anything, and it is transmitted, you will be arrested for treason. And treason during the time of war is
harmful by death. We're not going to transmit their photographs. We're not transmitting their photographs. We're transmitting our photographs. The only picture that I would want, all I'd want would be one picture with him standing under the veranda or high from our hotel.
You're not going to get any photo. What do you mean high?
Just his arm. We'll pixelate his face.
You know, what you're hearing here from this gentleman is you may be offering, and what if they don't take you up?
Well, I think if they don't take us up on it, it's because people like Derwood have been calling them morning, noon, and night, leaving voice messages, and basically putting the fear of Jesus into them. And I think that that's wrong.
The fear of Jesus? These guys just took out Bin Laden.
I just woke
be afraid?
Up from sleeping because I couldn't sleep and
mm-hmm.
turned on the radio and heard your gibberish.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the one that's going to be feeding them full of gibberish. You're going to call them up and go, Mr. Navy SEAL, don't talk to Bobby Dooley because she wants to park it on your nose. Oh, please.
Okay.
By the way,
thank you.
As far
good
as the helicopter with the blade,
yes.
They won't even know how to use that.
These people have no idea what they're dealing with. All they see is wreckage.
With the SEAL that left that behind, though, he's going to have to get...
And there's no technology in these blades. Most countries have these type of blades on these helicopters.
Not these. These are stealth. This is stealth technology for the...
Ma'am, I have flown in over 100 missions on paved loads, helicopters, and on secret missions. They are not in the blade.
Did you fly a stealth helicopter? No.
They're not stealth helicopters. They're called paved loads. They're a standard operating helicopter.
No, it's a SEAL helicopter. Everything they use
is a paved load.
Some cloaking. It has a cloaking device.
If you join the military, you understand what I'm talking about.
A cloaking device is from Star Wars.
No, it isn't. It's from Star Trek.
All right, whatever, Star Trek.
The only two aircraft that have any type of close to being any type of stealth is the F-117 and the B-2. They're not helicopters.
Do they have invisible helicopters yet?
No,
they're not invisible.
They flew below the radar. That's why the Pakistani couldn't see them.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference. That's why they use helicopters.
Oh,
they can fly below the radar.
I see. Well, what were they saying on TV, Steve, about the stealth technology and the rotors?
There is no stealth technology in rotors. What they're talking about is a sound dampening system.
Mm-hmm.
The sound dampening system, everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
Even Pakistan has it.
All right. Thank you very much. Good call, Derwood, and thank you for giving us some background on a lot of this stuff. And, Ms. Dooley, you're extremely rude going,
What?
I can hear you going, into the phone. You're not doing that.
No, I'm not. Well, a little bit. Steve's taking the phone from me, and at times, aren't you, Steve?
Well, keep the phone, if you don't mind, Ms. Dooley, in your own hands. I'd appreciate that. 877-876-7445. If you're a woman listening to me right now, if you're a man listening to me right now, Bobby and Steve Dooley are on an organized some effort to contact the United States Navy and the Navy SEALs to tell them that the women of America would be happy to give themselves up intimately to the SEALs and their husbands would approve. It's a very wide, and Ms. Dooley is describing this as tribal, and the guy who left the stealth technology behind in the rotor blades, he'd have to get seconds. 877-876-7445. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show right after this.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yes, you did. We're back here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, I'm asking you simply that we have... there are people listening who may not appreciate the language. Is she on the line? All right, now bring her back up, will you, bud, because I've got to... I just want to make that one point with her. Ms. Dooley, did you hear what I said?
Yes, I heard what you said, and I'm not aware of any language that I've been using.
When you said something about parking something on someone's...
That was my husband, Steve.
I said that. You've got to park it in a New York minute.
He said that I would park it in a New York minute, but he did not say where.
All right, well, that's fine, but the term park it I find to be a little untoward and unladylike, if you'll pardon me for saying that.
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, but I am a lady... I'm talking about giving it to our SEALs, not giving it just to any bum in a bar. I've had it up to here with guys at bars, okay? I don't need that anymore.
My wife, I can assure you, Mr. Henry, my wife doesn't need any more guys in bars.
I don't need that anymore. I've done that.
Really?
Oh, what does that mean? Oh, boy.
You told my wife what?
You're the guy that brought it up.
That is so rude.
Wait a minute, Ms. Dooley. You're the one that brought up the bar scene, not me. 877-876-7445. Here is Elizabeth in Bakersfield, California on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been listening to this conversation, and I agree with the lady on only one point. What these Navy SEALs did was a noble thing. There's no question about that. It was very noble. It was brave. And I am happy that Osama bin Laden is dead. However, I am.
What did you call him? What did you call him?
You're happy that Osama Laden. I am really disgusted as a woman to hear you say, and to say that you're speaking for all women in general, that we would just have sex with these guys, that we would be that grateful that we would have sex with them?
Are you trying to tell me that the very men that saved your children's life, that saved your life, that you wouldn't be all over that?
Why don't you put it more?
Like the previous caller said before, a few minutes ago,
she said
more ways of expressing your appreciation. You could write a letter to these Navy SEALs. Expressing your appreciation.
I'm sure they'd really appreciate that.
Have sex with a random stranger for that.
He's not a stranger.
Phil Hendry.
You'd be honest.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You said you've made transgressions. How would you, in your own words, describe the death?
The Pacific now is coming out where it represents a war that
I did believe. I still believe that Senate bill is
essentially this is just off the scale unconstitutional for the
bleeping retarded.
That's just stuck on stupid.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and through the looking glass we go. Coming up, states are launching lawsuits against the health care plan, plus the man who called Representative John Lewis the N-word. Coming up this hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And remember, our website is philhendryshow.com. Go on over. Check out our live streaming video. Check out the audio downloads that we have of each and every show. You can download it to your iPod. Download it to your iPhone. Download it to anything. Download it to your eye. You can look at our archives. I think I'll start calling them that, as a matter of fact. Not our archives. We've got a huge archive of radio. As a matter of fact, the largest archive of a single radio show anywhere on the Internet. The Phil Hendry Show website, one of the funniest on the Internet, according to PC Magazine. Check it out, philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. Joining us on the line right now is a gentleman who, it was a very interesting sort of roundabout way in which we were going to be talking to this guy. As you know, over the weekend, it was alleged that someone had shouted the N-word at Representative John Lewis. John Lewis is a honored member of the United States House of Representatives. John Lewis is a battle-hardened veteran of the civil rights movement. He is respected by white and black members. And to hear this word shouted allegedly at him is even for opponents of the health care plan, for conservatives, for Republicans, for anybody who may be opposed to Democrats in general, even for them it was shocking to hear that this possibly happened. We have been fortunate enough to have been in touch with this gentleman, Mr. Vernon Dozier of Glendale, California, because the video is going to be released tomorrow. I don't know which network has it. It is you. You have admitted this to a couple of news agencies, Mr. Dozier, but you were not referring to John Lewis. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to explain to you and to your listening audience. I was not talking to John Lewis.
Now, before you tell us who it was you were directing this at, I want to get the setting here. You're on the steps of the Capitol, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what was happening?
I was there with Tea Party West and a California group of people who were protesting this health care bill. We also had a couple of us had iPhones here watching some of the television coverage of the proceedings leading up. I mean, some of the commentary before they actually went in to take the vote and to begin to do some of the debate. And so I was on the steps when Congressman Lewis and the Speaker of the House, Ms. Pelosi, both came toward the entrance there, the portico of the Capitol building, and I was looking at Ms. Pelosi, and it, it occurred to me then that she was the primary mover of this thing, which is abhorred by any American. I think it's against taxation.
All right, and you and I talked. I understand your point of view on the health care plan, but I don't want this to become an opportunity to talk about that necessarily. You have some explaining to do.
I understand it, sir. I'm not attempting to go around what we agreed on. I'm just saying that I'm giving you my
What was your feelings at the time? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, my emotional state at the time was such. I felt outraged, as did a lot of other people. Everyone that I was with, you'd understand. I mean, there was a lot of anger in that crowd. And when I saw Pelosi, I yelled at her the N-word. I did not yell at John Lewis. John Lewis, turned out, was there. I saw him go by. But when I saw Pelosi, that's who I was angry at.
And so you using this N-word, first of all, you know, is an insulting word. You know it's a degrading thing to call someone of color. But you're saying that you used this word at Pelosi, not at John Lewis.
I did not look at John Lewis, nor did I intend to say to John Lewis the...
All right, we had to dump you because you used the word, okay?
I apologize.
All right, you can say N-word.
I did not use the N-word at John Lewis. I used it at Nancy Pelosi. I thought I was in territory. I was very angry. We're in the Tea Party. We have been muzzled. And we have been muzzled so much that we don't know what it is that we're allowed to say. There has been so much disregard for the American people. There has been so much political correctness around this. And there has been so much out-and-out lying. And I think now, with the passage of this bill, the thievery of tax money of the American people, that I felt like I had to say something that was outrageous enough that really expressed my anger. And in my heart, the word that came to my, that just came up, was the word that most people don't want you to use, you know.
Not the F word.
Not the F word is something that's just, everyone's heard that word, and all they're going to do is look at you and think that you have a filthy mouth. If you use the word that I used, people will take notice.
All right, well, then why that word, in other words, you used that word, it had no racial component at the time you used it.
None whatsoever, no, sir. None whatsoever.
It just so happened that John Lewis was walking by when you used it.
It doesn't have anything to do with John Lewis, I'm telling you. It had everything to do with Nancy Pelosi. It had everything to do with Nancy Pelosi. It had nothing to do with John Lewis. I would never use that word. I'm a teacher, Mr. Andre. I'm an educator. I'm not one who looks upon language as a luxury. I think language is a necessity, and expressing yourself adequately is a necessity. So I picked that word very carefully. When I looked at Pelosi, I was angry, and I wanted a word that was going to express to the people around me how I felt. It had no racial love.
Well, you know as well as I do that using the N-word has a racial component.
I was going to say, it had no racial undertones.
Yeah. How can you say it had no racial undertones?
Because I used it against a white woman.
Because you used it against a white woman?
Yes, sir. It had no racial undertones if I use it against a white woman like Nancy Pelosi. So there's nothing nefarious there. It was a perfectly honest expression of anger toward a white woman.
Then why use that word at all if it has no racial undertones?
Because it got the attention of people. It when I called her and I said to the people around me, a couple of people looked at me and said, why are you why are you doing that? Why did you call her that? And I looked at them and I said, because it got your attention. Look at you. You're looking at me. I said, the people now are looking at, you know, they understand. And then...
I was going to ask you, what was the reaction of the people around you? They obviously were not happy with you, huh?
A couple of them were not happy, but once I explained to them, I used the word. I just called her an N-word, and I used that word so that people will know that we're unhappy with her. And then the people that were with me, a lot of them understood what I was trying to say and agreed with me.
But the initial response of you saying N-word to Nancy Pelosi was they didn't like it.
A couple of them thought I was saying it to John Lewis. I said, no, I'm not saying it to John Lewis. I said, I'm saying it to Nancy Pelosi. And they said, why would you call her the N-word? And I said, because we need something powerful that's going to get... And the ones who were not happy that I used the N-word are really just angry because of political correctness, which I might add is just running amok in this society. If you use the N-word like I did, it's not going to be... if I use it against a white woman, it doesn't mean anything. Against a black man or a black woman, yes, it does. But against a white woman, it just means she's just lower than low. And
you think Nancy Pelosi, meaning if you use the N-word against a Nancy Pelosi, it just means she's lower than low?
Yes, sir. And
lower than low in supporting this bill, this health care bill, lower than low in using your tax dollars to that extent.
Yeah, lower than low in that she is nothing more, because I wanted to say you know, and I can't say it on your show now, but I just said you N-word, you know, you N-word, and you, I said, you are a low N-word as she walked by, and I felt good, and people looked at me, and I said, but you know what, and I looked at this one lady, she looked at me, I looked at her, I said, you know what, I feel good, I feel better than I have in a long time, that I just called her the N-word.
Now, there are people who are not going to believe you. You know that.
Well, I don't understand why they wouldn't believe. If I'm coming on your program and I'm going to be on the on a couple of the shows tomorrow, telling people that I'm telling the truth.
No, there's going to be a lot of people who just think you're flat out lying. They're going to say that, no, you meant it for John Lewis. It had nothing to do with Nancy Pelosi. What are you going to say to them?
I will say to them this. Why would I use that word against a black man when I know it's going to get me beat up? It's going to get me beat up. It's going to get me in a lot of trouble. Why would I do that? Using it against a white woman, as bad as that is, I had a reason to use it against a white woman because she helped get this health care bill passed. So she is an N-word.
And you don't think that'll get you beat up talking that way about somebody like Nancy Pelosi? Maybe her husband would take exception?
I don't think people think in those terms. If I look at Pelosi and I go, why you, and I say the N-word, I think people look at me kind of shocked. She turned and looked at me like, I don't know, maybe she thought I was some kind of a retard. I don't know, but I said what I said. And I told the people around me, I said what I said, and I'm proud of it because I didn't use it against a black person. It has nothing to do with race. But I want people to understand that I'm not the problem here. It's the disregard for the American people. It's the problem that this N-word Nancy Pelosi uses.
All right. Well, all right, Vernon Dozier joining us. So you've heard his story there, folks. He did use the N-word. It was not intended for John Lewis. It was intended for Nancy Pelosi, who was following along behind Congressman Lewis or otherwise was in the same area. And that if you use the N-word against a white woman, it's not near as bad as it is if you use it against a black guy. All right, our number here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Dozier told me before we went on the air that the liberal media, he feels, is going to try to crucify him over this. He feels it's unfair and that there is nothing wrong with what he did and that most people recognize that saying using the N-word against a white woman is not bad, and they luckily agree with that. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier coming up.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier joins us from Glendale, California. He was in Washington this past weekend and was heard on a couple of videotapes that are going to be aired on the news channels tomorrow using the N-word. Some people thought it was toward Congressman John Lewis, who is black. Mr. Dozier is on our program tonight saying that it was actually intended for Nancy Pelosi, who was walking in the vicinity of Congressman Lewis. Now, the first word that came to your mind, Mr. Dozier, is you say that you were angry, and a lot of the Tea Party people that were with you were angry. You said the N-word came to mind, even though you always intended this for Nancy Pelosi.
That is correct, yes, sir. Some people said to me that I wanted to call John Lewis, the word, but I didn't because I knew it would be wrong, and so I shifted immediately at the last second and looked at Pelosi and called her an N. I did not do that. That was never my intention. My intention all along was to call Nancy Pelosi the N because I felt that she had harmed the American people with her backing of this health care bill. I felt that she was...
Now, what you said to me, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I felt that she was... You have to understand, Mr. Andrew, I felt that she was corrupt.
I want to ask you, though. If calling Nancy Pelosi the N-word isn't as bad as calling a black man the N-word... Then why is it bad?
It's not that it's not as bad. It means it's something different. To call a black man N is to impugn his race. To call a white woman the N is to say that she is morally corrupt, that her soul is black, the interior of the woman is black. Black is sin, and
oh, okay. So we go to black.
No. It's not about race, though, Mr. Henry. This is about moral compunction. And the degenerate nature of Pelosi makes her, in my eyes, an N. The N-word, which is why I use the N-word.
Would you ever call a black man the N-word?
Never. Never.
Have you ever?
No, sir, I have not.
But it happened to be a word that you would use when you saw Pelosi.
That is exactly. When I saw her, I thought of nothing. I thought of a degenerate, corrupt, morally, let me underline that word, morally blackened individual, which I still think that she is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL on the line with me is Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California, who says that he did not intend to say that to John Lewis. It was intended for Nancy Pelosi. Here is Abe in Boulder, Colorado. You're on the line here with Vernon Dozier. Sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yes, Abe.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I just wanted to comment that it seems to me that if, as the congressman said, he thought very hard about what kind of word to express his feelings for Nancy Pelosi he wanted to use, why would he not have chosen something that was more clearly an insult to a white woman? I mean, there's the B word, the C word. You could combine the two.
Right.
You know, he clearly associates the N-word with blackness, and that's the only, meaning that word, which is one of the oldest profane words in any language has ever had. It means black, and it's a derogatory term. Why wouldn't he have picked one of the better shocking words to degrade a woman with?
Mr. Dozier?
I
think that's a good question.
Well, it's a good question, but it's not that good of a question because I explained. I said I wanted a word that was going to get everybody's attention. And calling her a B word and a C word, that's just obscene, and it makes me sound like I hate women. I wanted a word that would go right to what I think is Pelosi's problem, which is her degenerate, morally degenerate reality. And so I just looked at her and I went, you N-word. And
so that in your mind, that word is applicable to a white woman who is morally degenerate.
That is correct, yes. Absolutely.
And yet you would never use that word toward an African-American.
I would never. I think the word, see, and this is why I say it's not that bad of a word if you use it properly. If you use it toward a white person, I think you're in the clear because you're not going to get obviously beat up by blacks, and a white woman, she's not going to beat you up. And I don't mean that I'm.
Well, that's not an excuse, sir.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying, to me, she's just. just a moral N. She's the N-word. That's all I can tell you. It's...
All right, Abe, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's move over to Dan. Dan is in Nashville, Tennessee. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the line here with Vernon Dozier tonight.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. I was wondering, you know, if this guy is a school teacher, you know, why use that particular word as, I mean, when I grew up in school, I had heard that word, and I grew up in a little country school way out in the sticks. I'd never seen a black person. I'd heard the phrase, I looked it up in an old Webster's dictionary, and it actually describes that term as meaning a bad person. Now, technically, you could call her that.
Right, and that's what I meant. That's what Nancy Pelosi is. She's a bad person. But I can't use that to her.
She's far below it. She's actually evil. She's an evil person. But, I mean, that doesn't... I mean, why use
something as... That's why I use that, because she's got a black... What's your name, Dan?
Dan?
Yeah, Dan, just be... I'm a school teacher, so be quiet for a minute and let me finish what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think that... Let me say that, if you don't mind, okay?
I'm sorry?
Let me conduct the conversation.
I just heard him go,
Well, I mean...
Did you want to... What is that, Tourette? Is that Tourette syndrome? You just went,
Hold on for just a minute. What's the purpose of this, Mr. Dozier?
I'm trying to get something said, and I'm listening to this man making noises.
All right, I tell you what, Dan, hold the line here for a minute, because I don't think you've been treated quite evenly, and I'd ask my guest, to... allow me to conduct this. 877-876-PHIL, back with Vernon Dozier using the N-word.
Phil Henry.
Back here on the Phil Henry Show, Mr. Vernon Dozier, an educator, and I think it's key to point that out, sir. You're an educator from Southern California. You're in Washington, and you fully admit to having used the N-word as John Lewis and Nancy Pelosi went by, but you say that you did not intend it for John Lewis. You intended it instead for Nancy Pelosi. Why should anybody believe you, considering the fact there was a black man there, John Lewis was there? We know what the N-word is about. We know it's used against black people. Why should anyone believe you?
Mr. Henry, I think it would be easy for me to say, yeah, I used that word, or I would never come out and admit having used the word. But I want to tell the truth, and there's an old saying, and I don't know if you've heard the saying or not, but it goes something like this: truth is stranger than fiction. You ever heard that before?
Yes, I've heard it before.
All right. And what does that mean?
Sir, I know what it means, okay?
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. The truth that I'm telling right now is may sound stranger than fiction, but the fact is it's the truth. That when I saw Pelosi, I saw Lewis, yeah. And then I saw Pelosi.
And all right, when you saw Lewis, did the N-word come into your mind?
The N-word is going to come into a white man's mind sometime when he sees a liberal black, but I'm not...
Oh, okay, so now we're getting down to it.
No, you're not getting down to anything, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, we're getting down to the fact that you saw John Lewis, and you thought, there goes an N-word, but I'm not going to say that out loud.
No, sir, I did not think that at all.
You just said to me that, of course, the N-word's going to come into your mind when you see a liberal black man.
I think at times. I'm not saying all the time. But at times, yes. There's not a white man... Hold on for just a second here. There's not a white man listening right now that when he sees a black, a liberal, a Democrat black, like Alan Keyes, I don't ever think, well, you see a liberal black, they're not, of course I'm going to go, boy, look at that, you know, N, but I did not say.
Oh, of course you're going to say that, huh? Of course you are, huh? What about a liberal white man if he sees a conservative black man?
He's going to say, there goes that N.
Well, I don't do that. On issues pertaining to, for instance, social policy, I'm probably liberal. I see Alan Keyes. I don't think that.
Mr. Andrew, I've listened to your program. You can't say you're liberal or conservative. I don't think you... You probably think blacks... You probably think everybody's an N-word. You know, I don't know. And I mean that with all due respect.
I don't think that word never comes to my mind. I'll tell you this much. When I see a white woman that I disagree with, it doesn't come to my mind when I see a white man.
Well, when does it come to your mind?
It comes to my mind when I hear about a guy like you using it and then claiming that it was because you saw a white woman that you disagreed with.
And I am telling you the absolute truth. It was because I saw that white woman, Nancy Pelosi, walking across that Capitol Mall, and she... look, understand something.
Well, you're telling me that you saw Nancy Pelosi walking across the Capitol Mall, and there's John Lewis, and you thought, there's John Lewis, N-word, but you decided to use it against Pelosi.
I was never going to use it against John Lewis.
All right, our number here, folks, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Mr. Vernon Dozier, who was there in Washington. He does admit, and you probably have heard the news stories, that somebody yelled the N-word out as John Lewis was going by on his way into the Capitol building. Nancy Pelosi was going by. Mr. Dozier admits that it was him, but the N-word was not intended for John Lewis. It was intended for Nancy Pelosi. And I think it's a fair question, sir, to ask my audience whether they believe you or not, because I'm having a hard time.
Mr. Henry, you can come out and say you don't believe me if you don't believe me.
I'm having a hard time, I'll tell you that much. I'm having a very difficult time understanding how it was that the N-word came to mind when you saw Nancy Pelosi and then you used it, not wanting to offend John Lewis.
I already admitted to you, sir, like I think a lot of men that are listening right now. And
Why not women?
Women don't use that word. You know it as well as I do. Women don't look at a black man and say, there goes an N. If they do, they only do it with other women. They don't do it in mixed company. I think white men will do it in mixed company. White women will generally refer to each other as the N-word because white women identify in some ways with the underclass. The fact of the matter is that a black man, when he walks by a white man, if he's a liberal, a white man will probably think, look at that, man, there goes another N, you know. But you're not going to say anything. Then when I saw Pelosi go by, that's when I said, why you, and I said...
Well, what you said, why you, N-word.
Yeah, I yelled it out. I said, hey, look at, I said something along the lines of, how about that, look at that, N-word.
Were you pointing at her?
I don't recall, sir.
And it was when Pelosi went by?
Yes, sir, it was.
And the people around you didn't believe you, did they?
I wouldn't say that. I told them. They said, why would you say that? I said, hey, look at that. See, now you people notice me, don't you? And
you people notice me?
No, it wasn't about me. I'm saying what I said.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Didn't we just talk to you, Josh?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, sure. It's nice to have you with us. Josh in Albuquerque. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just... this guy seems to have no integrity. And if he's an educator...
I'm being very honest, sir. I'm being very honest.
If people try to call a colleague the N-word, do you think that you would be reprimanded?
If it was a white woman, I don't think... Or a white man...
Like a co-worker...
Why are they going to reprimand me?
Well, because I'm sure there's rules about language in school.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But calling a white man at the N-word...
You probably
means something
teach
completely.
History, so what do you teach?
I beg
or
your pardon?
Are you in administration?
No, sir. I teach math and science. I teach health and science. And I'm also a varsity football coach. But what
All
that
right.
has to do with anything, I can tell
well,
you...
Well, I'm just wondering if... Say you called one of your students an N-word. Do you think
no,
their parents
I would, never
would
do
get
that.
Mad?
A black? I would never call a black student that.
Well, would you call a white student that?
If it was appropriate, yeah. If I found a...
If you had a white student who was what?
If I had a moral degenerate of a white student whose very soul was a black thing, why wouldn't that be appropriate? Of course I would.
What, you know, I'm just curious, Mr. Dozier. What high school student, what child under the age of 18 has a blackened soul?
Here we go. I don't have time to argue the liberal politics.
No, I'm curious. But anyway, I interrupted my caller. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I was, and like what you said, like I'm a white man, But when I see a black man, I don't think the N-word. And
when you see a liberal black man, do you think the N-word?
No.
When you see a conservative black man, do you think the N-word then? I don't know if you're liberal or conservative.
I see a black man.
Well, I don't know where you're from, but...
Mr. Dozier, I don't recognize what you're saying either. You're saying when you see a liberal black man, it's natural for a white man to think N-word?
Mr. Hendry, I don't know where you've been or what you've done with your life or this gentleman either, but I can assure you...
No, you can't assure me anything. I've been around white men my whole life. I've traveled all over this country. I've never heard such a thing. Josh, thanks so much for your call, though, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. It's Judy now in the Bronx in New York. Hi, Judy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. I have to respond
yes, ma'am.
To that man. He is nothing more than a Ku Klux Klan pretending to be a Tea Partier. That's all.
That is wrong.
That is the truth. That is what he did. He's a racist,
ma'am.
And he cannot even tell you the truth. The man looked at a white woman and said,
yes, ma'am.
What is he telling us? That he's colorblind?
No, ma'am. I said that I would
colorblind?
Only use that word.
That doesn't
color?
Even make sense. A six-year-old could tell you that doesn't make sense. What you're saying is a lie.
Wait a minute. It makes perfect sense.
You to be honest. You are a liar.
If I was lying, I would say.
You are lying. You are a racist. That's what you are.
Ma'am,
you're not only
ma'am,
lying, you're uncivilized. You are uncivilized.
The only person
because
who used that word is you. You're the only one who's used that word in this conversation.
Well, hold on for a minute.
You are a fan.
Judy, it's Phil. I want to ask you this is Phil. I just would like to ask you not to use that word. We know the word that we're using here. We know the word we're talking about, so please don't.
That word is so offensive, but you didn't tell him not
it
to
is.
Use it, though, did you?
No, ma'am, don't. I'm asking you. This is. I'm asking you. Ma'am, don't use the word again, or I'm going to. He hasn't used it. He's using N-word. He's using the N-word. He's saying the phrase N-word, and I'd ask you to do the same thing,
fine.
Please.
Okay, fine. Then I'll say N-word.
All right. Now, let me get back to Vernon.
She's the only one that's used that word. And you know why? Because she's used it against a white man, me.
No, she hasn't.
And guess what? Guess what? I'm half Indian and half black. So explain that one to me. My mother is black and my father is Indian. Explain to me why have you used
that
word.
I've heard that one before. That's a load of hooey, this half-Indian thing. You mean Indian like
listen,
Geronimo?
Listen, I'm not talking about Native American Indian. I'm talking about India in Asia. Let's get it clear. Let's be clear here with our
children. Okay. I would say that the Indian people, you know as well as I do, they're
disrespectful person.
Those people is,
and you've been given an opportunity to come clean, and you still can't come clean. That's the sad thing about you.
So let me ask this question.
Problem.
Are
you
not...
Your disease is denial.
Ma'am,
your disease
I
is denial.
Said
you
that Nancy
wrong.
Pelosi is the
you
N-word.
You did not say you were wrong, did you? You still did
not,
say you were wrong.
Because
did you
I'm
say
not,
you were wrong?
I'm not. No, I'm not wrong.
So it was okay
I'm
what
not
you did then?
But then you're not
so
half Indian. You're not
you
half Indian.
Was okay. So what you're saying
you're not,
is what you did
you
was
lied
okay.
about being an Indian.
So
well, how do you know she's lying about being...
This lady, she claims to be an Indian.
And I say, and I call somebody out and I call him a Ku Klux Klan. That's okay then. That's what you're saying. That's the new standard.
Who
that is the
about?
New standard. That is the new
if you
standard.
Call
you
wouldn't call
Pelosi.
If you say that Pelosi is a man, you'd be right.
Wait, whoa. All right, look, I got to hang up on this lady. I asked you not to do it. I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to keep myself. We're trying to, I'm trying to hold on to my license, to be honest with you.
Wait a minute. You just let that lady.
I asked her not to use the word. She used it again. We dumped it. I hope, anyway. But that does not get you off the hook. Because the lady was very upset asking you the question, why don't you be honest, you wanted to call John Lewis the N-word.
I did not. If I wanted to call him that, I would have called him that.
You said that when you saw him, you thought N-word.
I saw him and I thought, well, will you look at the, you know. At
no, I don't know. No, I don't know.
He was walking along and I said, check, you know. And this is in my mind, though. This is all in my mind. And then when I saw Pelosi, I saw my opening. And that's when I said, well, look at that. I forget how I said it.
You saw your opening how?
That the word was applicable, Mr. Hendry. The word was applicable. That her soul was corrupted. And that if there had been a female Dorian Gray, Nancy Pelosi, if, oh, man, you, you set fire to a photograph of Nancy Pelosi, I guarantee she's going to look like she's been in a fire.
And all right, 877-876-PHIL. That is just as frightening a line of thinking as I've ever heard in my life. So this man claims, yes, he did use the N-word, but it wasn't for John Lewis. It was for Nancy Pelosi. And why? Because the word was applicable for Nancy Pelosi. And why is that? Because her soul is black and corrupt. And now he's telling me that she's the female version of Dorian Gray. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Vernon Dozier, the man on the steps of the Capitol building who hurled the invective, has been unveiled. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with him.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry. Our number 877-876-PHIL in the final segment here with Vernon Dozier. We're talking with him about the use of his use of the N-word on the steps of the Capitol building this weekend. And this videotape, I guess, will be out and released tomorrow, Mr. Dozier. But you were talking, you say you were using that word toward Nancy Pelosi. Now, you can hear the misunderstanding. Do you think you would ever do this again?
The misunderstanding, Mr. Andrew, because people don't understand what it is I'm trying to do, doesn't mean that I should stop doing it. When I saw her, I made a momentary judgment call. My feeling was, boy, is she ever an N-word? And then I was thinking, okay, let me just judge this. Is this a yes? Is this a no? Is this going to hurt me? And I thought, you know what? She's white. Let's go with it. And that's when I said, boy, you miserable N-word.
And this is a commentary on her morality.
Yes, absolutely. Moral. Just as black, and I can't even express how degenerated she is. Again, I can only think of the portrait of Dorian Gray, and if somebody set fire to a portrait of Nancy Pelosi, then she would immediately take on, like if you ever seen Dracula after they put a stake in him. Have you ever seen that, Mr. Andrew?
Yes, I have, sir. I understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Misty. In San Francisco tonight. Misty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil.
Yes.
This guy is pretty unbelievable. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm sensing that he's mentally ill. Because nobody... I'm talking, sir. Nobody that I know...
Well, ma'am, you can't call me mentally ill and say I'm talking, sir.
I'm a high school teacher. I'm still talking, Phil.
Okay. And insulting me, too.
Let the lady talk, because you've been talking enough, Mr. Dozier.
Basically, nobody in their right mind, never in my entire life, has the N-word entered my mind to call someone that, ever.
Oh, boy, is that ever dishonest?
You say that's dishonest. Why do you call her dishonest?
She knows as well as I do. If she's white, she's wanted to throw that a couple times at a gardener or somebody was doing her nails wrong or something.
Sir, you are mentally ill, and that has never entered my mind. Nor
why am I mentally ill?
Other people's mind. Because you try to talk logical. I can detect that you have a disorder. You try to talk logical, and you try to sound that you're all smooth, but you're a hypocrite, and you're contradicting yourself.
Well, being a hypocrite and being mentally ill are two different things, ma'am. If you think that I am somehow I'm conflicted logically
you've got a lot of issues. You've got a lot of issues. You've got a number of disorders. That last lady that called was correct. And obviously,
she was using the N-word more than me.
Well, because
You've never used the N-word, for you to say that you've never wanted to use the N-word, I think that's dishonest and hypocritical. Tell me there hasn't been a little Indian woman speaking to Indians.
You know why you think that's dishonest? Because you believe in it so strongly, you can't help but think it.
That's a good point.
You are a racist, and you are a part of the Klan, probably.
You've never used that word against someone who's been doing your nails. You never did that. You never called a little Indian girl doing your toenails the N-word.
What are you talking about?
She knows it's true.
In my life, never. Anyone I even know has ever used that word. You're out of line, and you're spilling your guts right now on national radio. Everybody knows the truth. Sir, you are
how is it
really...
Mr. Dozier, just because it's a normal thing for you to call Nancy Pelosi or somebody who is morally degenerate...
No, but I'm very fascinated for a woman to call this show, a white woman, to say that she never considered calling a cleaning woman or a maid in a hotel the N-word. Never. I find that very hard to believe.
Why is that hard to believe that human beings want to treat each other with a little bit of dignity?
You know,
I'm not
sure. We shouldn't even be giving this guy the airtime. This guy is a racist pig. I will pray for you. I will pray for
you. Just call me a pig. That's racist to call me a pig.
No,
how's that racist?
I'm stating a fact. It's not a personal judgment against you. I'll pray for your soul, sir. The degenerate that we're dealing with. The degenerate that we're dealing with is you. But you know what? God has forgiveness for people that hate. And that's okay if down deep you hate people, because God will.
I don't hate anybody.
Forgiveness.
You say it's accurate to call me a pig. Why is it accurate to call Nancy Pelosi an end? That's
I'm
accurate.
I'm calling you a pig. I'm calling you a racist.
Well, you just did call me a pig, though. You said that was accurate.
All right, I'm calling you a pig.
Mr. Henry, this
Bill
lady...
Bill will call you a pig.
This woman... Mr. Henry, you know as well as I do. This woman's got a...
You are, sir.
She's
are
run
you,
through
are
at least...
Are you somebody that just... what is your job, sir? I don't know anything about you. Are you just...
I'm a high school teacher. I was in Washington, D.C. I saw Congressman Lewis and I saw Speaker Pelosi coming up on the Capitol steps, I looked at Pelosi and I said, look at that N, and that's when I yelled it out. I said,
Why would that enter your mind, or why would a cleaning lady, why would that enter your mind? I'd be grateful for the lady that cleaned my room.
I'm asking you, you're telling me there hasn't been at least one nanny in your life that you didn't say, get out of here, you N.
Are you nuts.
Mr. Andrew, are you buying that? You know this woman's run through nannies like you and I change socks.
What is all of a sudden she's got nannies and maids and stuff?
You know what
is with you?
You know what? This guy's mentally ill, straight up.
Yes. I'm mentally ill.
I can read somebody's soul, okay? And I know what this guy is. This guy's got mental disorders, and that's...
You can read
my soul. A lot of people...
You can read my soul.
I have the spirit of discernment, and I can tell what your manipulations are about. Yes, I can.
Do you know that right now I'm aroused by you? No, you don't, do you? So you're not that discerning.
Phil Hendry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Osama bin Laden, the right to appear in a U.S. courtroom. You are clothing Osama bin Laden with a protection.
All right, and Brooke Baldwin's with me, and I understand you've got a little...
I think they are pro-American, but not to the extent that they...
Disgusting!
You're causing a disturbance.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast at 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that sort of takes you through the looking glass here. The Alice in Wonderland trip through talk radio. Not your dad's talk show, that's for sure. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And every night we hold forth here. America. What we do, basically, is we take this whole thing, we flip it on its head. Our website, www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. So you can check out the show as we perform it. In fact, if you go over there, you'll look at a live streaming video of our show right this very instant and watch us do our thing. And tomorrow there will be downloadable audio of the entire show. Our archives, if you want to download the Phil Hendry Show, you can do that over there at philhenryshow.com. All of the shows that we've done, go ahead and do that. So the Riel Hunter and John Edwards situation continues to, it just continues to sort of spiral. I wouldn't say out of control, but it's going places, man. I don't think I've ever seen a politician go to these places before. I mean, it's like the cat is sort of proud now of the fact that he has this relationship with this woman. And she is now, Riel Hunter is now giving interviews at GQ. There's a photo spread, if you'll pardon the expression, of her there. And I shouldn't say spread, but, well, I mean, it gives the wrong impression. It's a photo spread, but it ain't, it's nothing that's it's going to be shocking anybody. So there she is. Now let's listen here. We're going to be listening to some audio of her in this interview. Now, this is the writer, actually, who interviewed Riel Hunter. Then we're going to have a gentleman on who is actually looking to stop this coverage or to have it mitigated in some fashion, the coverage, that is, of John Edwards and Riel Hunter and their affair and the ongoing weirdness that it is. Here is the individual that interviewed this woman for GQ magazine.
How does Johnny, as she refers to him, Riel refers to John Edwards, feel about her doing this interview?
Well, she said he was fine with it, that he thought she should talk if she wanted to. And she also claims that he never told her not to talk to the press.
Why is she talking now?
You know, it's been several years of people defining her. And what was interesting to me when we first started talking was Riel really wanted to put the whole story out there. She wanted an expansive interview. She kept saying she wanted her words to be her words, unspun, unfiltered. So I think she cared very much about putting her truth out there.
This writer is named Lisa DiPaolo.
But it's interesting because she talks about her unconditional love for him.
She also talks about the relationship in the present.
Yeah,
it's not like that relationship that occurred. It's the relationship that is. So, which raises the question, what is the relationship right now?
I think the short answer is they're together, but I think it depends on how you define together. I don't know that it's a conventional together, but she talks about the fact that she loves him very much.
Yeah, she says, I do know that I will love him, that I love him, right. and love is till death do us part. Though when you ask her if there's going to be a fairy tale ending, the response is, I want whatever life brings me.
Right. And when I asked her, do you think you'll live happily ever after with him? She said, I don't know. And I don't think she does know.
All right, so there's the backstory or the front story. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is seeking at least some kind of suppression or gag order of the coverage of John Edwards and Riel Hunter. And Mr. Bozell, good evening.
Good evening.
So, sir, you have, along with your attorney, Dolores Blazingame, in Riverside, California, you're seeking to suppress or gag further coverage because you consider this coverage of Mr. Edwards and his mistress or his now his girlfriend offensive.
Pretty much that I think covers it. I mean, we consider it offensive to the community, particularly men. We feel that our right to privacy is being abused, that our married lives are being invaded.
What do you mean your right to privacy?
The right to privacy that we're talking about is our right to have our marriages and have our relationships with our wives, who we are faithful to. We're not going out and cheating on our wives. We're living our lives according to, you know, in my belief system, according to the Bible, and other men too. And John Edwards, on the other hand, has invaded my privacy. He's a married man who went out and got himself a girlfriend. He knows that he is a well-known man, and so as a well-known man, he's going to have press is going to be covering every move that he makes. And eventually, if he makes a misstep, press is going to be covering that too. He knew that. He knew that if he made a misstep and it got into the press, and these sex tapes, apparently he made a sex tape with her, is going to come out. They're going to be commenting on the sex tape. And the next thing that we're all aware now is, you know, this man, we've been told, a former senator from North Carolina, we know the size of his manhood, you know, and how well endowed he is and all this. And now she's talking on GQ magazine about what a great lover he is and everything else. So this is just throwing into the face of every married man, every man who's faithful to his wife. It just throws up into his face what some other married man is doing. And everyone in the world is hearing all about his, how well endowed he is and how hot he is in bed and all this. And it invades our privacy. It also, I think, makes us look, in the eyes of a lot of people, makes us look like fools to still be with our wives while he's out.
Well, I want to interrupt you, Mr. Bozell. When you say it makes you look like a fool, how is that?
Well, I think it makes us look like fools. I know it makes me look like a fool that I'm still with my wife and I'm faithful to her, and I don't know that, that anyone cares about that. All they care about is how big John Edwards, you know, they've been reporting about that and about his having an affair with this woman. So it seems to me that we have we've had our privacy invaded.
Again, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but I don't think you're very clear when you say that your privacy has been invaded.
Well, my attorney could explain a lot better, but
maybe I should be talking to her about this. Would you rather I do? I mean, just about those areas of this?
No, I can explain it. I just think that I think when I'm comfortable with my wife is comfortable with me, and suddenly John Edwards is reported in the news as to having well endowed, and that he's great in bed. We already know that John Edwards is attractive to women, and that women out there, including a lot of our wives, are probably think he's very good looking, and there's probably a lot of women that want to sleep with him now. In addition to the pressure in our marriages of having our wives know how, you know, good looking he is, now they're also finding out that he's endowed and he has one, and also that he is hot, and apparently he goes he goes forever and ever more. So this invades our privacy in that it now puts John Edwards in my bedroom.
Really?
In a figurative sense, yes, sir.
Because you feel that all of this reporting about John Edwards, his prowess, his endowment, so on and so forth, is some kind of a pressure on your marriage because the wives and...
Well, yes, sir. And all the women out there, you know, on some level, a lot of women do want to sleep with him. I mean, even married women, they're not going to... They don't think they've got a shot at it, so... They'll fantasize about it.
Well, you're saying all married women want to sleep with John Edwards?
I think they think about it, but I know they know that they don't have a shot. They haven't got a prayer, so they will allow themselves. So why must married men have to put up with the added pressure knowing that our wives are now thinking about John Edwards and his big, you know, blankety blank and how good he is in the sack? That puts pressure on us. Sexually, okay, and it's an invasion of my privacy.
All right, I think I understand where you're coming from when you say that, when you put it that way, that John Edwards, all of this intimate reporting about him, you're talking about how the wives or the women of America may be attracted to him, and so it puts pressure on you guys as married men because they're thinking John Edwards is fantastic. Let me ask you, also mentioned that you were abused.
I didn't say I was abused.
But you said that you feel this reporting is offensive, and that your right to privacy was being abused. I guess that you kind of answered that.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, the news of the sexual exploits of this man is so pervasive that... I can't even say. I'll give you an example. I said I'd like to have a gag order, and people were laughing about, you know, the gag order. And then I got it. It's okay, you know, because of how big he is and everything. So you can't even talk about John Edwards and Riel Hunter without it being an enormous amount of pressure on marriages all over this country. Because it humiliates a man about his penis size. It puts through men having to compare themselves to him, and he's a United States senator in bed and everything. It's pressure because our wives read about it, and they already are interested and curious about seeing it, and what's he all about?
All right, Mr. Bozell, so this is a gag order or a suppression of information about the John Edwards affair with Riel Hunter because you feel it humiliates men, it is an invasion of the privacy of men, that it unfairly tempts, would you say, married women?
I don't think it tempts them. So.
But it makes them compare.
Yeah, I think that married women out there compare their husbands to what they think, what they imagine how, you know, or how big, or I don't know how you want to put it, but how big, huge everything is with him, with John Edwards, yeah. And so, yeah, and I'd say that I think I had the support of all the married men out there. Maybe this could be a class action suit, although I don't want to go that way. because I think that married men have to put up with the added pressure knowing he's got this big, you know what.
Well, but then again, there's married men out there that have a big you know what too, you know.
I understand that, but there's also ones that don't, and so I guess I should, are you saying you do, or?
You know what, sir, that's, I don't want to discuss that, okay? We're talking here with Mr. Stephen Bozell.
I apologize. But that's my point. You don't know it.
All right, no, I understand. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Mr. Stephen Bozell on right now. He's looking to have the coverage of John Edwards' affair limited or at least eliminated because this information about Edwards' exploits in the bedroom and his physical attributes is humiliating to men and tempting to the wives and the girlfriends. And an invasion, basically, of their privacy. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun, unless he's living in Somalia, in which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts.
This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
On the line with me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is looking to suppress, legally, through his attorney, some kind of a gag order, suppress coverage of John Edwards and his girlfriend, Riel Hunter. You mentioned that this coverage of their affair is offensive. It's an invasion of marriages, particularly the marriages of particularly the men in the marriages, because they're being comparing themselves to John Edwards and what a stud he is. You also mentioned that the wives are probably curious about John Edwards, which puts more pressure on the men.
Well, I have in the paperwork, Mr. Henry, an incident here. If you look at it's on page 4 under the interrogatives. You'll see there that my wife and I, April, my wife and I were watching a Elizabeth Edwards interview on television one night. It was on CNN. And that later that evening we had sex and everything and it was very good, and I have told my attorney that my wife was obviously making a connection to John Edwards in having the sex.
Wait, you were watching a thing about Elizabeth Edwards?
Yes, sir, that's true, but the connection is readily made. No one cares about Elizabeth Edwards. She's the wife of John Edwards. People are going to care about him. And so my wife is looking at Elizabeth Edwards, but she's thinking about John Edwards.
And you think that's why the two of you had great sex?
I'm saying that I believe that it has polluted the marriages of countless people across this country. And that's why I'm fighting for the rights of men all over America, not just my own, that their wives are now thinking about John Edwards, not as a United States senator or as a father of, you know, 5 or 10, I don't know how many kids he's got, a lot of kids, but as a guy who is on a sex tape and is, you know, everyone thinks he's so great, and we're just, what, nothing?
Well, I don't know that anybody is actually, you're making the connection, though, that John Edwards and his sexual exploits humiliates the American male.
Absolutely.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line in Los Angeles is Vicki. Vicki, you're on with Stephen Bozell and the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just think this is totally absurd. Like, obviously, Mr. Bozell is completely insecure. And what lawyer in the world would take on such a ridiculous lawsuit? Are you going to sue George Clooney and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt for being gorgeous?
I don't think I've heard about
making
your wife
stand by
the bed. No, ma'am, because I haven't heard. No one has reported on the size of their manhood. John Edwards, there's a sex tape showing it and everything. And
he was almost president of the United States. I think there's a big difference between a U.S. senator almost becoming president and also having a big, you know, and I don't know how else to put it.
So you're telling me that John...
The penis that is offensive to you that they're reporting on?
The fact that they have to report on it, which is then spread throughout every marriage in the country.
And how could this possibly, like, hold any water at all in the legal system?
The continual reporting of this, they have gag orders on reporting all the time. The continual reporting on this is an invasion of every marriage in America, of John Edwards standing in the bedroom while you're making love to your wife.
Come on. Look at Steve. When you say that, especially when you said that you and your wife were watching the, was it Elizabeth Edwards?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're watching Elizabeth Edwards, but that your wife would suddenly make the connection between Elizabeth to John, and that's why your lovemaking was good.
Okay. So, in other words, what you're telling me is that's impossible for a woman to...
Well, we have a woman on the line,
no,
Vicky. If you're looking
impossible.
At an interview with Elizabeth...
It just happens all the time.
See,
everybody fantasizes during sex. It's just normal. Like, that's just
right.
Normal.
That's what I'm saying. But when my wife is looking at Elizabeth Edwards, she's fantasizing about John Edwards. And right there, that's where I've got you. Because she's talking about that's the big, his large size.
Part of that. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, yeah. So my wife's going to be all excited when I come out with something fake.
That was the lady's suggestion. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Richard. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a married man here from California. This is the first time I've ever called into a radio program. I listen to them all the time, but I just had to call in. I mean, I've been married for about 7 years. It hasn't been that long. But this is just absolutely absurd. I mean, this guy, I don't know if I'm obviously listening, but...
I don't know whether or not... I don't know why it is that I have to listen to John Edwards' sex, all of his sex tapes.
I don't know why your relationship with your wife is so insecure that it makes a difference. Does your wife not love you?
Well, are you saying to me, sir, that you don't mind John Edwards standing in your bedroom? Because I care about him standing in mine.
He could stand naked in the doorway for all I care. It really makes not a bit of a difference.
What is that about? What is that about? What is that about? You want John Edwards standing nude in your room?
Our relationship is solid enough to where it does not matter. It has
are you married,
no
sir? Sir, are you married? I mean,
yes.
You don't mind your wife fantasizing? You want your wife looking at John Edwards with his big...
No, I've fantasized about large-breasted women. What's the difference?
All right, Richard, thank you for your call. We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Is your wife fantasizing about John Edwards? All this reporting about John Edwards. The Phil Hendry Show, back in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
People are laughing at me.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, we're with Stephen Bozell. This gentleman, a construction contractor from Corona, California, has, through his attorney, filed for a suppression, not a gag order, a suppression of news reporting on John Edwards and his affair with Riel Hunter. Now, Mr. Edwards is going through a divorce. He's legally separated from his wife. You don't like the reporting because it's graphic. You say that it invades the privacy of the bedrooms of people, I guess, is the best way to put it. You say that it invades their privacy, invades your privacy as a man, and it's generally just offensive, right?
Not only that, but, you know, I brought this point up, and that last man that I talked to on your program here tonight, the man that I just, that was on, Mr. Henry, the phone caller?
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't mind if John Edwards was standing in the doorway naked looking at him and judging how he's you know, having sex with his wife. I said, boy, I find that very, you know, I don't know if that's gay or how, you know.
Well, I think what the man was saying is it doesn't matter. He's not thinking about John Edwards, so what the hell, it wouldn't matter to him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think that he's being honest, because I think that women out there now know John Edwards, his physical attributes, how well, how good he is in bed, and it's like you're there as a man, and John Edwards is judging you, saying, here's how I'd be making love to your wife if, you know, that was me, because it doesn't look too good to me.
That's what you think John Edwards is thinking.
No, what I'm saying is that is the pressure that it puts on married men.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Steve. You might want to think about maybe some therapy, you and your wife, because there's no way that women out there are thinking this guy, that they want to be with this guy. They're thinking John Edwards is pretty much a scumbag.
How do you know? You don't know that.
Well, I know a lot of women.
We know.
Are of that opinion.
Well, yeah, sure. Fact is that they're attracted to him.
Well, sorry, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they're attracted to him.
How can you say that?
Well, how do you say what you're saying? I can say that they're attracted to him.
How do you say that all women out there? Well, because I know.
They are.
I had no women come up to me and say, you know what?
You've never had. Women just walk up to you and they just walk right up to you and give you their opinion about this. Yeah, I've done research.
You've done research.
All right, let's let the man talk.
Yes, I have. I have an attorney and we filed papers.
You filed papers for a gag order to keep this keep the news guy. I agree with you.
Tell me all about what you think you know. Because you say women are walking up to you. I don't believe that.
Are we having a conversation here, guys? Because I'm not hearing anything going on here. Did you call up for a reason, Frank? What's your point? Let's go. Okay, what do you want to say? Hold on, Steve. Why don't you just let the man talk? Because you guys are taking shots at each other here.
There's not going to be a single woman.
Just let the man talk, okay? Go ahead, Frank.
Steve, I'm just saying, you're probably looking at this it's just weird to be looking at it this way. There's no way that women out there are thinking that this guy, John Edwards...
You think it's weird, fine. You know, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm a married man. There's a lot of married men out there that are offended by this guy having his penis talked about.
All right, Frank, thanks. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Let me tell you, Mr. Hendry, you've noticed there hasn't been a single woman calling up tonight who could honestly say they don't want to sleep with John Edwards. And the reason that...
Whoa, hold on for a minute, man. I've heard from at least two women tonight who think what you're saying is ridiculous.
Well, but they haven't said that they didn't want to sleep with John Edwards.
You're telling me that the women that called up, they're not going to volunteer this, okay?
Well, the point is, and I think that even people would admit it if they would admit it. And I think this is where I've got most of the people that have called your show tonight. They would admit it if it didn't humiliate them. And that is that I'm right about the fact that women fantasize about John Edwards.
Let's just say for a minute that you're wrong, okay?
Excuse me?
Let's just say for a minute that you're wrong, that women are not fantasizing about John Edwards.
Well, then I think there needs to be a clear statement of that. Because what's going on here...
A clear statement how? Do you want the women of America to issue a press release?
Don't be ridiculous, sir.
Well, no, I don't want to be ridiculous, Mr. Bozell, but do you want... Or should we ask our wives, are you attracted to John Edwards? And if they say no, then you're going to believe them?
Now you're calling them liars, is that it?
No, I'm not calling them liars, but you know as well as I do that women are extremely protective of men's vanity, that women will not tell us anything that they think is going to hurt us.
So what are you saying?
Mr. Bozell, let me finish, okay? Sir, I don't want to offend you, but you're sounding a little childish now, that you don't know that?
Know what?
You don't know that women will often say what they think we want to hear. They're not going to... Women are protective of men's vanity every bit as much as we are of theirs.
Oh, boy, you're really...
What am I doing?
Well, I mean, what are you saying?
Are you telling me that you have not, out of love and out of kindness and because you want your wife to feel good, that when she's asked you, hey, honey, do I look a little fat, you haven't said to her, no, baby, you look fantastic?
No, I mean, if my wife asks me, she won't say it this way. She'll ask me if her rear end's gotten outside the... We talk about parameters, and she'll ask me, has my butt gotten beyond the parameter? And I'll say, yeah, it's good. It's way out.
Oh, okay. So you don't even hold back with your wife. You don't try to protect, or you don't try to flatter her just because it might make her feel good?
I don't understand what you mean.
All right, Mr. Bozell, I won't even go there. The fact is, what I'm asking you is simply this. You know what? I forgot what I was asking you.
Well, Mr. Henry, the whole idea is...
No, I know. The women calling up and saying that they don't want to sleep with John Edwards. Let's just say women don't want to sleep with John Edwards.
Right, you already asked me that.
Okay, then what?
Well, then there needs to be a statement. And they need to say it. And that way we would feel, we'd feel gooder about it, or not gooder about it.
We'd feel better about it?
Yeah, I think we'd feel better about it. And that when we made love to our wives, we'd know that there wasn't John Edwards standing in the doorway with a smart-ass look on his face, that's all.
John Edwards standing in the doorway with a smart-ass look on his face. All right.
Mr. Henry, when you repeat what I say and then it fades out, it almost sounds like you're mocking me.
What do you mean, fades out?
John Edwards fading in the doorway? Like you think I'm not a retard, but...
No, Mr. Bozell, I think you're doing the job very well yourself. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Christina. Go ahead, Christina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell.
So you're saying I'm making myself look like a retard?
Yes, sir, if you want to use that word.
My question is, how do you know what your wife is thinking, and how do you know what other women are thinking when they're making love to their men?
Well, I think it stands to reason.
It really doesn't.
That it's possible that they're thinking about John Edwards when it's been in the news every day.
A lot of women, really don't care. They feel secure in their relationship, like I do with my man.
No, I'm not talking about you. I mean the husband. If you're thinking about John Edwards and how big he is, and they've been reporting about the size, your husband's going to feel
size
like
size really doesn't matter. It matters about how the man treats the woman.
And can I say, can I just say something, ma'am? You don't.
Can I speak?
I know, but you don't sound old enough to be having this conversation.
Hold on up there. Christina, how old are you?
I'm 21.
Okay, she's old enough, all right?
Well, she sounds like a kid.
She's a married woman. Go ahead, Christina.
Yes, I am, and he's a soldier, and I'm very proud of him, and we don't have that many
encounters. Yes, as well you should be proud of him.
Well, okay.
No, we don't have that many encounters, and when we do, all I can do is think about how wonderful he is. So...
But you're not thinking about John Edwards at all.
Why?
Because what I'm trying to say is, because they've been reporting on the...
She has a soldier. She has a soldier for a husband. She doesn't have John Edwards. She doesn't have some mealy-mouthed little cheating worm like John Edwards. She's got a man. You see?
Well, yeah, but John Edwards has the large penis, is what I was trying to say.
Will you listen to what the women are saying instead of your freaking insecurity?
The majority of women don't care about size. It's about how the man treats the woman. I mean, if you look outside
Steve,
and you have a little thought about women just think about size all the time, then you're going to be insecure when you find out that a man has a larger penis than, normal men.
Have you had sex with your husband since the news came out about John Edwards the girth?
Yes. I find it
so hard to believe how convenient that is for you.
You find it hard to believe why?
Oh, she just, it so happens. Why would you come on the air and like...
You know something? I don't want to hear you accuse us. I want to ask you a question, Steve, okay?
All right.
Do you like women with really big breasts?
Well, I guess...
Yeah, but your wife, you fell in love with her and you like sex with her. Does she have big breasts?
No.
Okay. It's the same thing. Guys may think big breasts are interesting, but they don't necessarily fall in love with women who have big breasts. They don't necessarily have the best sex of their lives with women who've got big breasts. You understand?
Yeah, I don't know. It's different for women. They're always looking at...
What? Are you... Okay, Christina, thank you very much for your call, and our very best to your family and to your husband, your soldier. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. That was Christina. Let's go to Teresa on the Phil Hendry Show in Clarksville, Tennessee. Teresa, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I want to agree with the last caller. It has nothing to do with the size. It has to do with your relationship with your spouse. Yes, I've heard about the John Edwards thing, but it doesn't affect my life in the way it affects this man. I just don't understand his rational thinking or irrational thinking when it comes to this. When you're with
I'm sorry, I thought you were a dude, I'm sorry, it's fine,
I mean, I'm sorry to hear that you're having such an issue with this, because when you're with your mate and your spouse, it's supposed to be about expressing love for one another, and it should be an intimate thing. It's not about what magazine you just read or what news article, you know, that you're looking into. It just doesn't make any sense. I think you're looking at this wrong. Your wife must love you or she wouldn't be married to you. She must enjoy the intimacy of the sex that you have, the love making. It doesn't have anything to do with the size. It has to do with your connection with her and
she just had looked at the Elizabeth Edwards show. See?
But why do you think that she would even be thinking about that anymore? I mean, you hear so
because of Elizabeth Edwards.
Elizabeth Edwards.
Well,
you're thinking she made the connection between Elizabeth Edwards and John Edwards. Boy, your wife's having to make all these leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I feel sorry for her because she's just trying to express love for you, and you're not allowing her.
Well, gentlemen, I don't know how this gentleman—not gentleman. I'm sorry. The lady is saying.
That's the second time now, and that's extremely rude. Okay, we all don't fit in a cookie cutter world. I have a deep voice. That does not make me any less feminine, okay?
I understand that.
I'm not making fun of your high voice, okay, and saying you're a girl. That is rude.
I forgot.
So many issues. My God.
I don't have no issue.
You
I'm just trying to say.
If you are suing over something.
Can I ask you
like
a question
that?
Then? I know you're a woman.
Why?
And I apologize. Can I ask you a question? Are you
okay? What are you going to ask?
Are you taller than 6 feet tall?
Will you get off that kick?
Is your weenie any bigger than 1 inch? Okay then. You know what is the point? And I'm sorry. Believe me. Okay, so my God,
that's
quite
certainly understand.
Soul.
I understand,
whatever.
Teresa.
What'd you say she had?
The lady had cancer of the throat.
Well, that don't make her less than 6'2".
Are you an idiot or something in her throat, man? Her throat.
Oh.
And she hung up. She hung up, and she thinks that I'm the back end of a horse. Not you, me.
Well, what about I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, there you are with this whole, excuse me, sir. Are you taller than 6'2"?
Well, I think it's a normal...
Oh, shut up. 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Stephen Bozell. More of your calls coming up on this issue of John Edwards and the size of his manhood and his lovemaking ability and Mr. Bozell suing to suppress that news because it invades the privacy of bedrooms across America. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And coming up, more of your calls, plus the Texas Board of Education changes social studies standards. Whee! Sexy!
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell with me. Mr. Bozell, during our break, you were talking about the politics of this. You're a conservative, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you really honestly think that this plays into how much coverage this is getting?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I don't think that there's any doubt. We have a liberal media in this country that is, intent on pushing the liberal agenda of Obama and all of these. if John Edwards was a conservative, all you'd be hearing about is, you know, probably how small it is and how he can't make love to a woman any good. But because he's a liberal, we're hearing all about it, and we're hearing about it constantly. And I think that it's an invasion, especially for those of us who have decent human or family human values and want to have a decency in their home and have your wife love you. And
are you all right, sir?
It's a little bit emotional.
Why are you emotional? I'm just curious.
Why am I emotional? Huh?
Yeah.
I think anybody is going to get emotional when you think that the woman that you've loved for 15 years is thinking about John Edwards. And big size of his penis.
All right. You know, you've heard countless women here saying that this is not what a woman thinks of. That just doesn't matter to you, huh?
Sir, you know, women, you said it. Women are going to say what makes a man feel good.
Oh, but they're not going to lie about something that is as profound as that. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Margo. Margo, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Mr. Bozell, I would like to ask you, how do you know what size John Edwards' penis is?
They were reporting on it. There'd been a videotape, apparently, that made the rounds. And so you asking about it.
But did you, I'm asking you a question,
worried.
So don't ask me a question
yes.
with a question.
No, it makes me worried
but
about
did,
it.
But did you see the videotape?
I don't
have seen the videotape?
Kind of, I don't have that kind of interest in a man, you know what.
Well, obviously you do. You have you're got this big lawsuit, and all you've done is talk about his penis size since you've been on the show.
They've been talking about it in the news.
Well, but you're talking about it, so you must have an interest in it.
Well, now you're asking me about it, so you must have an interest in it.
Well, no, you're making a suit and claim, and you're talking about women and how women fantasize and would like to be with a man because of his penis size, but for a fact, you don't know what his penis size is.
Well, they've reported it, ma'am, and it's been reported in a number of publications.
So
and,
well, actually,
hearsay.
It's been reported by enough news sources that we can pretty much assume it. And the other thing is, you're
well, you
asking
know
me about it,
you know,
and
you
that
know
makes
what
me
they
nervous.
Say,
are
you
interested
know what they
in
say?
It?
Absolutely not. And I met John Edwards when he was running for president in Jackson, Mississippi, in a small gathering. And I liked John Edwards because I thought he was a family man and a nice man. And when I heard about all the scandal and all that, he disgusts me. I no longer, you know, have the same thoughts about him being a great president or a great family man, and absolutely not what I'm not fantasize. And
I mean,
really
when you say that you met him, and now you're asking about his penis,
I'm asking you, how do you know? I mean, I really think you're a sick man.
Are you?
And I really
in him?
Think that you're.
Wait. Let the lady finish what she's saying here, Stephen. You know,
I just wondered, is she interested in him?
She just got done telling you that she doesn't like him anymore. She thought that the guy was a class act until she found out about this Riel Hunter stuff.
Yes, sir, but here she is calling me up and wanting details about what I've seen or what on the penis.
No, I think you're a talking head, and you don't listen. You've called a woman a man. You've called somebody else something. You didn't even get the fact when the man called in and said, I've been married 7 years, and he had a conversation, was trying to have a conversation with you. And then you go, are you married? So I really don't think you listen. I think in your head, you have in your mind that, first of all, your wife fantasizes about John Edwards is what you're saying. And so you classify all women with your wife. And I think you have an individual problem there. It's you and your wife.
You met him, and after meeting him, you have now been called. You called me up to say, "Well, can you give me the lowdown on his penis?" That's all.
No. You
that's
twist.
What, that's what it
you
sounds
twist,
like to me.
Hey, you twist things around.
Like
Phil Hendry.